So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers separated by 3,000 miles ask each other questions and give each other answers to find out who's the best one and who's a better dancer. I used that one already, don't care. I am one half of this podcast, author of How to Fight Presidents, TV writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, and third thing, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, the scary Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hey everybody, I'm Soren Bowie. I assume that's what you meant by scary.
I'm a writer. I gotta tell you, man. No.
Oh. Okay. All right. I'm a writer for American Dad, a father, a focused driver. I think that's important. Obviously, Dan, that won't make much sense to you. And as of late, a puzzle put togetherer.
Oh, let's dive right into that. Is that are you making puzzles with either of your small children?
Yeah, my son is really into puzzles and like shows a real proficiency for it that I don't know how to harness. I don't know what good that's going to do him in the rest of his life, but his spatial awareness of the puzzle pieces is really great.
That's good. I wonder what that means. Yeah. Also for like your future money-making schemes. And I wonder how that happens. I guess I never knew if like puzzle awareness is a learned thing or a felt thing.
Well, so here's the other thing he's really good at, and I think that they're related, is that he understands maps really well. From an early age, like we had a blueprint. We're getting our backyard redone, and so they did like a blueprint of our house. And you can't, if you're not familiar with a blueprint, you don't know quite what you're looking at because it's all from above. And so he doesn't read either, but like he was like, there's our front door, and like started going through it and like saying where all the things were in our house. And we're like, oh yeah, like you understand the idea of this without even being told. And I think that that's maybe like a sister skill to puzzles. But he's really good at like looking at the individual pieces, knowing where it can go. And then he's also never just like finding a piece and being like, trying to put it in one way, turning it around, putting it in the other way. He looks at it for a little bit and then puts it in the right way. And I'm like, oh, all right, you do this one.
That blueprint thing does seem like you can get him started early, like casing places. So Ooh. He wouldn't do any of the actual stealing or anything. You would just sort of drop him off at a bank or a rich person's house and he would come home and tell you where everything is. And then you'd be like, we're proud of you, son. And then you go and you steal it. And but then he'd get a taste for it, wouldn't he?
Yeah, the sexy part is the family business.
Yeah.
Well, maybe I could get him good at that too.
And then no. Here's what sucks is because your daughter, she becomes a cop, and she's gotta catch him. Oh no.
Oh, they meet on a rooftop, and she realizes it's him that she's been chasing the whole time.
Yeah.
And now she's got a real predicament because does she turn in her brother? Oh boy,
That's gonna be really tough for you guys. Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for them, honestly. My involvement, I understand, because at this point I'm working from prison.
Yeah, and you're proud either way.
Yeah, they're both doing a great job.
They're both at the top of their fields.
But I want them both to succeed, you know? And in order for it, one of them has to fail for the other to succeed. What a situation I've created.
Oh, damn. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betteratlp.com/QQ. That's betteratlp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Do something today you couldn't do yesterday with classes designed for real life. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of premium membership.
Well, let's get into the show. Let's start off. We haven't done any COVID check-ins lately, and today is a pretty big day. The CDC announced that you don't have to wear masks outside or inside if you're fully vaccinated anymore, which is, it's one of those things that is like immediately very exciting, but also if you are a person like me who lives on the internet, immediately very exhausting because Twitter wastes no time in turning it into a battle for who has the more correct, self-righteous response to this. And it's just all nonsense bullshit. It's all, anyone can react to that news however they want, but there are a lot of people who are like, I'm going to continue wearing a mask even though I'm fully vaccinated and I'm healthy, and here's why, I'm brave for doing it. And other people are like, I'm not going to wear my mask, and here's why, I'm brave and a victim. And everyone is just like trying to out correct everybody else on Twitter as loud as possible to be for, I guess, the rest of Twitter to be like, yes, this is the only correct response to this news. It is the most correct response to it. And we should all applaud this person. And it was like, God damn it. If you're excited that you can take off your mask, you be excited about it. If you're still nervous, still be nervous about it. I don't know. I hate that I've reached an age where my reaction to every bit of news is like, just live your life and shut up and let other people live their lives. But that's sort of where I'm at with everything, thanks to Twitter now.
Yeah, I mean, lately I've been, as I'm scrolling through Twitter and I'm getting sort of overwhelmed because I'm just not... it's too exhausting to hear the self-righteousness. I'm like, I don't have to do this. And yeah. I stop and it feels really good. And then I go back and I don't know why. I always go back, but I'm realizing that everybody's always had these opinions. They've never not existed. It feels very good to like derive some power from your victimization. Like we all do it. It feels good. You know, it works, mm-hmm. But man, do I don't need to listen to every single person do it. And I don't know why I've chosen to do that for so long.
Yeah. Yeah. I had a real, I'd like to say it was a moment that changes the trajectory of my life, but I know that it doesn't. But I was watching, this happens to be a week where Chrissy Teigen is, she's been back on Twitter after like a very dramatic 3-week break where she announced, I'm not going to be on this website anymore. And I delete my account and then came back 3 weeks later and was like, I love you guys. I can't stay away for too long. And now she is publicly apologizing for actions that she had taken 10 years ago to cyberbully then teenager Courtney Stodden. Courtney is in the news recently because they have gone public and on the record with horrible abuses that they've suffered, including this cyberbullying from Chrissy Teigen. And Chrissy is using Twitter to loudly apologize and talk about how all she wants to do is be loved by people, and she's going to try to do better. And even this, even though I think it's good that you're apologizing and you're trying to learn, I'm sitting here thinking like, hey, get the fuck off Twitter. Like, reach out to the person you want to apologize to and apologize to them.
Yeah.
Be an example for your family, but like completely separate from this current drama that you have fought your way into. It seems like you have a really bad relationship with Twitter and you shouldn't have that anymore. And I'm sitting here thinking like, man, if I was Chrissy Teigen, I wouldn't be on Twitter right now. Scroll, scroll, scroll. What else? What else? What else?
Yeah, I mean, if you and I have an interaction on Twitter, I immediately begrudge anyone else who jumps in and is like, bit, bit, bit. Look, I'm doing bits. I'm doing bits. And the like, people that I don't know, they're just strangers who are just like, listen, I like you guys. I also want to play. And that's like a natural, very instinctual thing to do. And I immediately hate them for it. I like begrudge anyone who does it. And I think like, why can't they just stay out of my conversation? Oh, because I'm having the conversation on the loudest platform. It's like I went and stood on a stage and just was like, wanted to have a talk with you. We did this podcast at like, just like out loud in the middle of the street. And people passing by were like, hey, what the fuck? What are you guys doing? Yeah. What are you talking about? None of your business, motherfucker.
Look, hey, I spent 10 years asking you to follow me on Twitter so you would leave me alone. Now shut up, buy my book, watch the show.
I end up getting into these altercations with people all the time where like I'll do a joke and then I'm like, I shouldn't read the replies to this. It's just going to make me mad. And then I'll go read the replies and I get mad because somebody inevitably will like take it seriously or somebody will misconstrue it or... there's so many fundamental ways to piss me off, it turns out. And so then I will like write back to them and I'm not nice. I'm like snarky and like not gentle or like, hey, thanks for following me in the first place. And it's kind of accosting, I think, to the person. And then their hackles are up. Hackles are up. And so then we just like, we just sort of go back and forth for a little while and then they block me. And I'm like, good. Wait, why am I here? What am I doing?
Right, I've never actually figured out what my ideal interaction with a stranger on Twitter is. I imagine if I did codify that in some way for both myself and like the public at large, if I was just like, hey, these are the rules for Twitter that I would like everyone to follow, A, I don't think that those rules exist, and B, I think I would get angry about that too,
Yeah.
because Twitter is a broken, poison, terrible thing.
Well, and the real bitch of it is that any sort of like friendships that I made on Twitter, I did doing that exact same thing. I did like jumping into I jumped into somebody else's conversation. I was not invited to, and just was like doing bits of like people that I respected and that I liked, and eventually they either begrudgingly followed or they were like, "Oh, this is working. Like this is all we're all having fun here," and it became like a fun bit. But I never want anyone to do that.
No.
That thing that I did that gained me followers, please don't do that to me.
Let's get into the show. I have actually, this is another update, and here's
Oh yeah, your COVID update.
a thing that that's happened to me. No, my COVID update was, I told you about Twitter.
Oh yeah.
Did you have a COVID update?
I mean, other than I on Thursday, this coming Thursday, I am 100% vaccinated. And the last puzzle piece for me in terms of what I want to do most of all just fell into place with the CDC notification because I want to go to a dine-in theater and I'm about to do that.
What are you going to see?
It doesn't matter. It literally does not matter.
That's very exciting. We have a few of the writers who are New York based. We're renting out a theater. We'll all be fully 100% vaxxed up. And it's like such slim pickings, the movies that are available right now. And even the newish blockbusters are mostly things like Kong vs. Godzilla and Mortal Kombat movies that if you have HBO Max,
You've already
you've
seen
already seen, like I have. But it's still like, yeah, I'll watch Kong vs. Godzilla, or I'll watch Spiral. I don't give a shit. Oh, you don't like horror? Fine. What else is there? The Tom and Jerry movie? Fuck it. I don't care. I'll see it twice. Let's go.
The problem is you can't like as a group go see something like News of the World together and be like,
No.
that was fun.
That's exciting. Well, I'm excited for you.
I'm so pumped that you're going to a movie with your coworkers. Like that's you guys are gonna be buzzing with
Yeah.
just like the opportunity to talk to each other, to shout shit over the movie. Like,
Yeah.
oh, jealous.
Yeah. You should come, man.
Okay.
Get on a plane.
I did actually just book two different flights for this summer too. It's
Oh,
like
where are you going?
Minnesota and Colorado.
Oh, that's cool. What's in Minnesota?
I got two weddings.
Ah, two weddings in Minnesota or one in Minnesota, one in Colorado?
No, two weddings in Minnesota.
Huh.
I know. I thought I had aged out of weddings in general. And then I think what happened is that there are a bunch of people who had to put off weddings over this last year. And then now everyone's getting married at once. And it just so happens that I know some of them. And so I'm back on the wedding circuit, baby.
That's fun. I've got like a destination wedding. Not one of those destination weddings where it requires travel because I know people all over the country. Like an actual like vacation destination wedding.
Yeah.
And I was shocked at how quickly that has come back to being an inconvenience to me.
I think you, a child would really help you realize what you have now. So maybe like you could have a child for like 2 months, Dan, and then
Okay.
afterwards you could be
Give it
like,
to me.
well, not mine.
Oh.
And otherwise I can't, like biologically.
Right.
But I think you having it, because like even now, I also, not only in addition to not even caring what I would go see it in a movie, if I got to go fly on a plane across the country by myself right now, I would be thinking about it every night and getting very excited. Just like the flight itself, where I'm alone at the airport, I'm alone in the plane, I'm alone at the other end, where like that time is all mine. It doesn't matter what I do in it. And because it's also, it doesn't, I don't have to be doing anything constructive because no one expects that on a plane. So that time is literally just time to be wasted. And that is, oh, I want that so bad.
Yeah, our lives are very different because by the time I get to the airport, like even before I left my apartment, I've already done, I know it's going to sound strange, everything on my phone. Everything that a person can do with a phone, I did it. I looked at it all.
Yeah.
It's gone. I did the crossword. I looked at Instagram.
I mean, I can't even imagine. I feel sorry for you. Because you also are going to get on the plane. You're going to scroll through the movies that are there, and you're going to be like, I have seen every single one of these. I've watched every movie that's been out for 6 months that would even they bother to have on a plane.
Yeah.
I get on there and it's I don't even I haven't heard of these movies yet. like big stars are in them. And I'm like, what is this? There's a new Spider-Man homecoming, you say. Is this one about like a dance?
Man, you don't even know. You're going to get on that plane and you don't even know what celebrities are canceled or anything like that.
No, it doesn't matter. I can watch a Kevin Spacey movie and enjoy it. Speaking of watching bad movies, I watched Tenet last night and loved the shit out of it.
Because that movie was great.
I had heard so many bad things about it and I was like, well, but I want to see it. And I watched it and I was just like, I don't care that I don't understand what's going on. This is so rad.
Yeah, it's maybe because it was one of the only new things that was created and like presented to me during COVID.
Yeah.
But I was so on board for everything. And there's a scene in the beginning where Melanie Laurent is like, hey, don't try to understand
yes.
how time travel works. And I'm like, got it. That was for me.
Thank you.
I'm on board.
Yeah.
And like, I can't exactly tell you what happened in that movie, like even divorced from the mechanics of time travel, I never knew why anyone was anywhere, and it just didn't matter. They were just like suddenly scaling down or up a building, and I'm like, yeah, you got to go in there and get the thing. I don't know.
And Robert Pattinson, I find so compelling on screen. Like he's somebody I yeah. really like watching,
yes.
and he's in it so much more than I anticipated, because I knew he was like in some of the previews and stuff. I was like, he just looks like maybe he's a bad guy in it or something. But no, he's just so much fun to watch in it. And God, I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah. You can be happy, and you should be. What is preventing your happiness? BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment, so it's convenient, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours. All without ever having to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room. If cost is your barrier, then you should know that BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp offers a broad range of expertise which may not be locally available in many areas. Just a few things you should know about BetterHelp's service. Anything you share is confidential. BetterHelp is not a crisis line self-help. It's professional counseling. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp. Well, I want to get into the show now, Soren.
Yeah,
now that we've been talking for a while, and I don't actually have a quick question this week. I have I'm just going to talk for a while.
Yeah.
I have a life update.
Oh.
I think I understand mansplaining. True to form, because it happened to me, and I think my whole journey with
first of all, are you okay? Yeah,
yes, thank you.
Okay, good.
I won't completely throw you under the bus with me, but I do think we're similar in that when mansplaining as a concept was first presented to me, I moved through three all incorrect impulses, and the first was, I don't know, it sounds like these guys are just being helpful. That was my immediate knee-jerk reaction when I would see people complaining about mansplaining on Twitter and presenting it as if it was a new thing, where it was like this epidemic of mansplaining happening. And I was like, I don't know, it sounds like someone is just giving friendly advice. That was the wrong impulse. and so I stopped having that. And then I learned and grew. And then when I heard an example of mansplaining, my second also wrong impulse was, that's really awful when guys do that, and it's meaningly different than when I do it.
Yeah,
that was a crucial component to me. It was like, yeah, some of those guys are really shitty, but like, I'm helpful. I need everyone to agree that I'm contributing whenever I talk about anything.
Yeah.
And then my third impulse after I learned and grew, which was also stealthily wrong, is that I would hear about it and I would say, that sucks, that's awful, and that happened. And then I would just stop talking, because as long as I'm not wrong out loud, it's fine. But I would still like in my head think, I don't know, I think people are just being helpful and folks have latched on to mansplaining as a thing that we can all rally around and hate together, and the distinctions between rudeness and helpfulness are getting blurred in a way that I thought was unhelpful.
Yeah.
But I learned enough to know that I shouldn't say that to anyone, and then no one got mad at me, which was good. But then, Soren, this thing happened to me. And I'm going to tell you about it. And it happened weeks ago, and I'm still mad.
All right.
And it's so on Nextdoor, on my favorite app of all time, Nextdoor.
Oh, Daniel, you're on Nextdoor.
I love it so much. It was really fun for a while. This is a tangent, but so was the show. It was fun for a while. I don't really consider myself a New Yorker, but I live here, and it's been there's like a certain New Yorkness that I find really endearing. And it was on full display on Nextdoor because people would post on Nextdoor. They would say, "Oh, look at the news in Texas. They opened up restaurants and they lowered mask restrictions. Ah, in Utah, they're not wearing masks in Utah anymore. How about that? Wonder if our limp-wristed governor will do something like that here." And all the comments are like, "That's really good for Utah. I'm so excited for Utah. Here's an idea. Why don't you take your cowboy hat? Why don't you pack up your fucking shit and get out of New York? We don't want you here." It was just like post after post of people wanting to run everyone out of New York Whenever anyone complained about anything, that was the tech. It was like, is it just me or are the rats worse this year? You know what? If you don't like the rats, here's an idea. Why don't you take your shit and go? Leave your brownstone open. We'll fill it. We'll fill it with a real New Yorker, you son of a bitch. My family died on these streets, and I'm going to do it too with the rats. That's part of it. You can get out of here if you don't like New York rats.
The rats will subsist off of my body when I am dead in my apartment, and they will live on through them.
Yeah, and it's that like New Yorker spirit, that indefatigable New Yorker thing that I'm just really charmed by. Anyway, that was my most of my Nextdoor experience, was just like enjoying these strangers fight each other. But then a little while ago, I started using it to start a little local run club because as things have been opening up, I just want to be more community focused. We've talked about how much I love community on this podcast before, and I just want to I wanted to create a little thing where it's like, hey, you can run. It's very low stakes. Every speed is welcome. Every skill level. You don't need to go as long as anyone else or as fast as anyone else. You stop when you want. You start when you want. You don't even need to show up. If you do, it's good. And you'll have a group. And I started posting that once a week. It was like an identical post every week on Tuesdays with some basic information and where to meet and when we would take off. And it was a very positive thing. People join me. It's like a successful run club that people go to
now.
Wow. And yeah, it's been very nice. And I've been doing it for weeks. And a couple weeks ago, this guy posted on it. And normally the posts are like, "This is a good idea. And I hope to join you." Or, "I can't this week." Basic stuff that you'd expect. And one guy, and I'm gonna read it in how I heard his voice. "Hey, thanks, Daniel. What a friendly and neighborly idea. I run to the north and south. I prefer north for longer distance, since you can get up to the little red lighthouse at the foot of the GWB pretty much unimpeded and can continue to go beyond. South is nice, too, but I find it somewhat congested and several traffic lights. Anyway, I hope to join the group one day. Enjoy the run."
Okay.
And here's what makes me really mad about this. It's not even just... I'm instantly livid that he closes with the fact that he's not going to be running with us.
Yes.
So he is just passing through and wanted to give tips on where we can run. And I want to be absolutely clear about this, that my post didn't open with like...
"Give us advice.
I'm new to running. What are some good directions?" Because then I could understand him popping in there being like, "Oh yeah, north and south." But I started this post, like I do every single week, somewhat strongly. "Hello, I'm Daniel. I go for a run along the Hudson every single night, rain or shine, and I thought it might be fun to do so with a group on Tuesday nights." And then more details followed after that. So not only was I not asking for any advice on this. I'd made it pretty clear that I know what I'm doing on this thing. That I feel like I run along the Hudson every night is pretty clear. I know what's north and what's south. But even if that hadn't been clear, again, at no point am I or is anyone asking a question about what direction is better. There's no way that I can let this guy know that he is not part of this, that he didn't help anything. And that's what I want him to know. I want to track him down and be like, hey, don't, if you see a group of happy neighbors running together, we did it without you. No one needed you to come in. We weren't like fucking babes in the woods, lost. And you were like, ah, these poor silly children, they need to know the best ways to run. And let me tell them the best ways to run, while also subtly making it clear that I've run the right entire perimeter of the state.
Right. So that's what this is all about. It's not, he had no intention of helping in any way, which is clear because he's only named you can run north or you could run south, which we're like, okay, great. Thanks for your help. He just needed a reason to post so that he could wave his credentials in your face as he runs past, because he just needs to feel like he's proved that he's a runner to anybody who will listen. So he's like, here's why I like this place. I go for longer runs there.
Yeah.
But I want my shorter runs here. It's, and then like naming things that he ran to in the north, like you got to this whatever the acronym Lighthouse was. Mm-hmm. And he's like, these are things that I'm proving to you that I am a good runner by all of this. And the rest of the email is just like collateral. It's just like filler of like, I need some sort of reason to have written this in the first place. So go, I don't know, fucking north or south. And did you know that I'm also a very good runner? I run long distances. Okay, goodbye. And like, that's all it is about this guy. Like, that's all he wants is for somebody to know that he is a runner.
Right. I started to think, like, is his ideal response to this me going, wow, the little red lighthouse, I've never gone that far. I didn't think anyone's ever gone that far. You must be a fucking superhero. And then the more I thought about it, the more I thought, there is no ideal response to him. The ideal thing was just him showing off and then leaving.
Yes.
That's what this game is to him. It's just like presenting this information about himself.
And then being above your run club as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the problem is that there's no way to punish this man.
No.
And that's, I know how badly you want that.
Right, especially because my brand on Nextdoor is all positivity. You'd it's unrecognizable, Soren. You'd hate it.
Yeah, no. I mean, I've seen you experiment with that on Twitter before. I don't know, man. It feels like there's some way to bring him down to earth. If you can get him around again, like, will he see responses? I don't remember because I never post on Nextdoor.
He'll see responses. Yes.
I wonder if you could be like, well, we go along the Hudson. You should come join us sometime. But then you got to deal with this guy.
I know.
Yeah, I know. There's no good solution to this. I think that he's already gotten what he wants, and that's, he took it from you.
No, yeah, there's no version of this where, like, he comes to Run Club one day and I race him and win. That's not the right answer, right?
No. You know what I'm also just realizing is that you told me a story, mm-hmm. and then I went, well, here's what really happened. And I mansplained to you what I think actually happened with no other context than what you told me. I got to be better about this.
No, I mean, well, I do think we're all constantly learning. I think you're cleared to do that on a show that relies on us asking each other questions and giving each other answers.
Okay.
Like if we were both being super cautious and it was just a series of like one of us presenting information and the other one just being like, hey, I see you, I hear you. All right. And then like moving on, that would be no good.
Yeah. I don't like my instinct there though. Cause I don't think that was just like, well, I know what this is. I know this is a show and this is different. I think I would have done that to anybody. And now I gotta reevaluate. Listen, we all want to try something new. You've been thinking about it, you've been mulling over it and thinking, yeah, starting at the bottom is just so hard. You just wish you could just start right in the middle or start near the top and just be good at something. But folks, there's only one way to get there. You got to try. You can witness your own transformation as you turn small steps into giant leaps. Skillshare is the one who makes it possible. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. And the thing is, the 10,000 hours rule, it's true. You got to practice to make it perfect. Okay? That's how you get your progress, one step at a time, advancing toward a goal, and it's achievable with these short lessons and hands-on projects. There's nothing better than getting better. Accomplishing growth is extremely satisfying. Skillshare is also an incredibly affordable way to do it, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. It's a fraction of that price. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. I am very excited about a new class that I'm about to try, which is called Video for Instagram: Tell an Engaging Story in Less Than a Minute. Now, I don't know if you've looked for me on Instagram. I guarantee you probably haven't found me. You might see my name up there with a little universal avatar because I haven't even customized the picture on it. I don't understand Instagram. I don't know how to use it. I know that at some point I'm going to have to learn for the sake of my own brand, I guess, but I can't do it. And every single day I think, not today. Not today. But now I have somebody to hold my hand to teach me how to tell an engaging story on Instagram, how to build followers, how to get my whole thing set up and create a real meaningful community around me on Instagram. Once again, that's Video for Instagram: Tell an Engaging Story in Less Than a Minute. And that's taught by Jalice Narvaez. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a free trial of membership. That's skillshare.com/QQ.
The only other next door update I have from Run Club. Oh, I mean, again, first of all, Run Club is thriving. We're doing great. We don't need this guy. But the only other humbling aspect of this was someone private messaged me, and she was like, "Hey, this sounds like a really good idea. I was thinking of getting into running more. I'm just I'm really curious. I'm kind of new to the area, and I'm looking to meet more young professionals. Is what? That you?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know if I'm a young professional. That probably means the fact that I don't know probably means that I'm old, but I'm 35, and I've never heard from this woman again." I think that was the wrong answer.
What was she looking for?
Young 20 somethings.
But she wanted a young. She was looking to network at your run club.
I think she was probably looking for friends, and I don't think 22 to 25-year-olds think of 35-year-olds for that role.
Right. You're not on the same team. But professionals really threw me. That's a dark horse word to use when you're looking for friends.
Just, I assumed that meant college graduate, so you're not looking for other college people. And professional, I think, meant seriously employed. That to me was as polite and as dressed up as you can clearly say, I am a young 20-something who is looking to make friends with people who are in the workforce beyond, I'm doing X until I could find my real job.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, boy. God, I forgot how scary it was to be 20 and young and trying to make friends. Okay. That makes more sense now. Now, how big would you say your run club is? How many people, show up on an average basis?
We've had, I think the most was 3 we've had, but there have been different groups of 2 to 3 runners across weeks. So 6 or 7 people have joined Run Club so far.
That's great.
Yeah, I feel good about that.
The impulse to even do that and the wherewithal to write the posts and everything, mm-hmm. I'm really proud of you, Dan. I don't think I would have done that.
There's one person that we missed forever, because part of the post that I do every week is I will be at this spot at roughly 6:20, and we will leave at exactly 6:30. And I got a notification when I got home after one of the Tuesday runs, a person who replied, 6:33, did you guys leave? And I replied yeah, man, at exactly 6:30.
Yeah.
I think that's... that aspect of Run Club is probably going to turn people off, but like, we have to leave at exactly 6:30 because there have been nights when no one showed up, and like, I'm not going to waste my time, you know? I'm going to get my run in.
Could you, and I'm not like telling you what to do here with your Run Club, because it's your Run Club. Could you say that we relieve every day, no matter what, at 6:25, and then just leave at 6:30 every day?
No, why don't I just say 6:30, we leave, and then at 6:30, we leave?
Because everything in culture is telling you not to be on time for shit, other than your Run Club. I've been to early to stuff before. I've been on time to stuff and felt like a fool because I was on time for it.
Mm-hmm. Why can't, in just like this one fucking instance, the whole world bend to me?
Well,
just...
they can. At least three people can. And maybe that's, I mean, you're obviously it's an uphill battle. It's going to be your entire time that you have this Run Club. But once people know the deal, then hey, maybe it'll work.
Yeah. And here's what's great about the deal is I've made the deal very clear.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't even be a learning curve to the deal, Soren.
Right.
I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at anyone. I love Run Club and I think people are great. And I think, unreliability is charming.
It's funny as I've gotten older, my response to suffering unreliability has gone way down, where I don't suffer it at all. I get so mad at people when they are not reliable. And also I've become way less reliable because of children and like, well, I guess COVID has had a lot to do with that, where like these unexpected things come up where like, I've got to deal with this now and I can't be on time for this thing anymore. And so I've gotten way worse about my reliability, and it's not fair at all. I'm a huge hypocrite. Daniel?
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Go.
It's a quick one.
Hell yeah.
What's an aspect or some aspects about you that are so boring that you feel like you have to lie about them? Because it's like borderline embarrassing how boring they are. I can go first if you like, to give you some framework
for
this.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
My food tastes are so boring that it's embarrassing. The best example of it is that people occasionally will be like, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? And that's like a conversation starter where everyone in the room's like, rum raisin. Everyone's like, no, rum raisin, shit. It's mint chocolate. Mint chocolate tastes like toothpaste. It's bubble gum. What are you, six? Like, you know, how the conversation goes.
Yeah, no.
With a bunch of people who hate each other.
Yeah. No, I've been to straw man parties before. Go on.
And I can never give my actual answer because then it becomes like the focal point of the whole conversation and in a way that's not very nice. But my answer is vanilla. Vanilla is my favorite type of ice cream. And sometimes people, even just given the option of chocolate or vanilla, they're like, no, I mean chocolate all the way. It's a no-brainer. I disagree. Vanilla is like the perfect ice cream, and I would choose it over pretty much any other type of ice cream and any given circumstance.
So here's my question for that, my quick question for that, because I am famously, bravely lactose intolerant.
Oh,
so
right.
So this isn't a question that I engage with often. And so I want to know, when you have ice cream, mm-hmm. In your dream scenario, is the ice cream just the base and mostly a vehicle for the toppings?
No.
It's like, I'm going to have ice cream, I'm going to get vanilla, and then I'm going to deck it all out.
I know what you're saying. And like, obviously vanilla is the best canvas for a sundae or like a banana split or like a McFlurry or something. But no, while I do enjoy some toppings on vanilla, like I'm not going to turn them away. If I go to somebody's house and they've got some vanilla in the freezer, the straw man's house, I'd be like, yes, that's very exciting to me. I will eat some vanilla ice cream in a bowl by itself.
Yeah. I like that the straw man in the party and the straw man host in this house are one and the same. That the guy like had all of his friends who don't know each other and haven't met before for a Clue style party, and he asked, now what's everyone's favorite ice cream? And you were the only one. You were like, vanilla is correct. Soren, you get it. And then he just hands you a carton.
And I go, oh, vanilla. Oh, look at you dumb motherfuckers now. You guys wanted your stupid ice cream, and now nobody gets any ice cream but me. Yeah, I as soon as I said, if I'm at somebody's house. And I was like, what am I, 14? When was the last time I was just like at somebody else's house? And I was like, can I check your freezer for food?
Do you have any, sorry, I'm just fat. Do you have any treats? I know we're all adults here, but like, no, don't make a meal for me or anything. Just like, do you have any treats? Any treats for me? Yeah, okay. What kind of ice cream do you have? Birthday cake? Never mind.
That's fine. No. It's good. I'm fine. I'm full. I'm full. vanilla and like, it's the same with like pizza. I will go to town on a regular cheese pizza. Yeah. I don't want anything on it. I mean, if you put some stuff on it, I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I'm an adult. I can eat these things. But if I just see a cheese pizza and I know that it's there among all the others, I'm like, yes. Because I know the only people that I'm going to have to share that with are the kids.
Yeah. And you've already got them beat.
Yeah, they don't. Then what are they, like a half a slice and then get distracted?
Yeah. I think vanilla is very fascinating to me. Just picturing you with a bowl with like a single scoop of vanilla in it, eating it. I would feel like, oh, it's one of those freaks from Pleasantville before color got there. Someone's got to help that guy. Someone's got to jerk off in front of Jeff Daniels or something so he could fix everything.
Calling something vanilla is like one of the biggest insults you can call it. Here's what you should be picturing. Soaring, getting excited on his way home from the gym or being out some night and being like, I'm going to stop off at McDonald's and just get an ice cream cone. And eating a vanilla kids cone in my car, like smiling about it, being pumped, like pulled over so that I can really enjoy it.
Yeah.
And just like savoring this vanilla ice cream.
This is a scene where your wife meets with a private detective and is like, just give it to me straight. Is he cheating on me?
No,
I think it's worse. It's worse.
It's so much worse. I have pictures. I don't know if you're going to want to see these.
Look, as you can see, he dropped it, and you'd think he would move on, but he just went back and got another one. I still think you can divorce him if you want.
Yeah, I've sat in my house with a bowl of just vanilla ice cream and like, you know what? I don't even want to watch TV while I'm eating this because it's going to distract me from the deliciousness. I'm going to sit at my counter, and I'm going to eat this. My phone can wait.
So this was, you framed this question as a taste of yours that is so God help boring. Me, vanilla.
Yeah.
That you feel compelled to lie about it. Have you ever like lied at a party? At this party?
Yeah. I mean, the straw man party is a real thing that's happened where somebody has said, what's your favorite ice cream? We've done interviews before at Cracked where people are like, what's a good joke question? They're like, what's your favorite kind of ice cream? And I will give different answers every single time.
And answers that you think make you seem more interesting. Every bit of anytime like one of your anxieties is put on display is very fascinating to me. Because like I have no shortage of anxieties, but this one is not one that is felt by me. That you think, well, I can't say vanilla. Everyone will think that's bad. I'm going to pick one of the good ones. And like, listeners and I would like to know what the good ones are.
If I was to say peanut butter cup, everyone would just move the fuck on. Like, nobody cares. Everybody's like, yeah, good enough. And then like, they go on to another one. That's how I keep my, that's my version of keeping my head down.
Peanut butter chocolate. Yeah, that checks a lot of boxes. All right, this guy's normal. Let's move on.
Unless there's somebody there who's like, oh, peanut butter ice cream? Oh, I hate that. And then you're like, oh, I had to defend this thing I don't care about.
Now it's going to be revealed to everyone that I've never had it. I guess mine is it's similar, but not as specific. I feel very embarrassed at just how much I love chain restaurants and not even... McDonald's, because like McDonald's was made in a lab to trick your brain into thinking it's good. Mm-hmm. But like I have made a whole big show of my love for Chili's on Twitter, and it almost seems like a bit, and sometimes I wish it were, but like I really love Chili's, and I really love Fridays and Applebee's. And when I briefly relocated to New Jersey and was out of Hell's Kitchen for a while, I was within 2 miles of an Applebee's, and I was stoked. I would get Applebee's to go once a week. That was like my cheat meal, because I didn't have to cook it, and I could get whatever I wanted, and it could be garbage, and it was just Applebee's, and I would just get just disgusting, boneless Applebee's wings with that Applebee's sauce, and like, yeah, this is so tight. This is so good.
If I remember correctly, every single one of your high school date went to Chili's.
Yes, correct. So two things were constant. Chili's is date number one, and my virginity. Both things were consistent throughout high school.
And so I've been to Chili's with you before, and like I picked up a menu, and you like rolled your eyes. Like, how's this dude not know what he wants? And the minute that the waiter shows up, they're like, "Can I get you some chips?" And you're like, "Yeah, with some ranch."
Yeah. I know. I know the right way to do Chili's. That's correct.
And then we also went to some Italian restaurant together that was like part of a mall.
Yes, Carrabba's Italian restaurant, which is a chain, but it's not everywhere. There weren't any in California. The nearest was in Vegas, and we were never going to go there. But where did we end up? Was that Chicago or Ohio?
I think that was in Chicago.
I think it was Chicago, yeah, because Cody and Michael were there, and I was so stoked that there was a Carrabba's within driving distance, so I drove us to the mall and went to the Carrabba's. Because you know how all the best restaurants are in malls?
Red Robin, your Volcanoes, all
it was a Ruby Tuesday, yeah. So we went to Carrabba's, and I was so thrilled to, like, show it off to you guys. This very basic chain.
I mean, it was fine. It was good.
Yeah.
It was exactly what I wanted it to be, which was like very filling, and I didn't ever take a bite and be like, ugh.
Yeah.
It was just and like, that, yeah, I could keep eating this.
That's the appeal of these restaurants to me, and that's why I like them so much. And also, it's the consistency. It's like I can go to any Fridays in the country, probably the world, and
yeah,
get the potato skins there, and they're going to be the same. They're going to taste exactly how I want them to taste. They're going to give me the same fucking cheese poops afterwards, but it doesn't matter, because that's also part of it.
Now, I'm sympathetic to this on one very specific front, and I think you know it, because after we did a, what was that thing called? A Tough Mudder?
We did a Tough Mudder, yeah.
And afterwards, I was like insistent that we go to this one restaurant that is exclusively part of malls. Do you remember where we went?
Red Robin.
Yeah. Where we went? Yeah. Yes. And you made a really big point of every time that I wanted to go to Red Robin, calling it the wrong name just barely. Just to piss me off. And we went to Red Robin. And Red Robin is a place that I think the first time I went was, we had a coworker back in the Demand Media days that her mom died, and for some reason all of us went to the funeral. I mean not you, but everybody who was like worked on Demand Media, like all these young people, 20 somethings, went to her funeral, like an open casket funeral. It was very strange. And then afterwards we went to Red Robin, and I had never been there before, and they brought out some fries, and I was like, who are these fries for? They're like, no, it's just bottomless fries. And I was like, say that one more time. And there were just like fries upon fries, and I could eat as much as I want. And then any sort of burger that they had there, I could get as a turkey burger, no questions asked.
Yeah.
And I was lit, and I ate like the Whiskey River or something, some fucking chain bullshit, and fell in love. And I was like, I'm coming here for the rest of my life. And now whenever I drive on the road, I'm always, and I see a mall come up, I'm like peeking around it, looking around to see if there's a Red Robin in it that I could stop at.
That's so funny. It's such a basic ass chain. The bottomless trash. Fries is a really great touch. And they also, if I recall, have like brightly colored non-alcoholic drinks. That's very exciting.
It's
like, do you want blue something from a fountain? It's like, I do. I absolutely want blue with my burger that has a steak knife through it and like crispy onion straws fried to hell.
Yeah, that has somehow it has Jim Beam on the burger. I don't know how. It doesn't taste like that. You know, maybe just named it that. Yeah, but like, you're absolutely right. They've got like the watermelon strawberry lemonades and things like that there, yeah, where you're like, yeah, I guess I do want that. It scratches the same itch as when you were a kid in a candy store and you weren't going after the good candy, you're going with the aesthetic stuff. You're like, yeah. Oh God, look how long those licorice whips are.
Yeah. What is that? A one unbroken connected yard of marshmallow tube? When am I going to even see this again? Of course I want that.
You're telling me you'll sell me paper with little dots of candy on it that I have to pry off with my teeth?
Take all my Christmas money, sir.
Just unraveling it like toilet paper. So that's... I'm glad that yours is also a food one. I'm sure that there are other aspects of my life that are very boring, but I've sort of come to terms with most of those because they're... Food I can do kind of privately.
Yeah.
Food I can celebrate alone. But there's other things like... when it comes to Christmas and stuff, I'm a basic bitch, man. Yeah. I just like want my celebration to be exactly like it was for my parents, exactly like I see it on TV. Like, mm-hmm. I don't want to stray from that at all. And I will get upset with you if you try to, if you're trying to put something else in my stuffing or anything like that. And I
feel like my general love of the sun and beaches is pretty basic and like bordering embarrassing. When I'd moved to LA and had been there for years and people would ask me about it, like, what do you like? And I was like, I like the sun. It's so my favorite thing about it is probably it's warm most of the time. Sometimes it's not as warm, and that's a real bummer, but that part goes away pretty fast, and then it's warm again.
Yeah. I like going to the beach because I like the way the sand feels in between my toes. Yeah. Is that weird? Is that weird, guys?
What, do you have like a beach volleyball team? No, I used to, but now I go to the beach like once a week. Do you surf? What do you do? I sit there and just like sit and bake in the sun for a while. And then if I have to pee or if it gets too hot, then I go in the water and pee and cool down. Then I go back and I sit some more. And then it's nighttime, so I have to go home and go to sleep until it's sunny and beach again.
Yeah, that sounds about right. That was your persona.
Anytime anyone came to visit me from home in Los Angeles, they're like, should we do the like that Hollywood Walk of Fame? I was like, I haven't done that shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
When they're like,
see a show at the UCB? hasn't come up.
There's been nothing more terrifying than when I have guests in town. They're like, well, show us the real LA. And I'm like, oh no. I don't know what the real LA is. I do all the shitty stuff.
I had a friend from Brazil visiting me here in New York pre-COVID, and she was like, I want a real, what do real New Yorkers do? I was like, well, they get up early and they go on a fishing boat and they shut up and they fish. And that's it. That's the New York experience. That's what they're all talking about on TV.
Every single one of them.
If we pass the Statue of Liberty while we're on the boat, that's not part of my plan. It just happened out that way. You can look at it if you want. I'm not gonna.
I insist on not doing it.
I'm focused on the fishing right now.
Well, Daniel, I think we can wrap up here.
Oh, cool.
I'm going to look for all of our contact information and how people can get in touch with us on Twitter, which we just said specifically don't do. And while I do that, we didn't have time to get to it in this episode, but I want to give it a shot because I liked the idea when you pitched it to me, and I apologize that we haven't done it so far, but we should do Daniel's Dating Darbazi, which is that little section of the podcast you wanted to carve out where you tell us a little bit about your most recent date. So go ahead and do that now.
Can you? I really want to do that, but real quickly, Darbazi, is that? Is that a portmanteau of Daniel Benghazi and then like an errant R in there?
How did you know? No, a Darbazi is a real structure. It's one of those, it's any sort of domed like structure that then has like a hole or a glass sky window at the very top of it. So light shoots down in one very particular area. It's kind of like a spotlight. So this is like a room in which you stand under that spotlight and you tell us about your date.
Wow, I thought I was going to make you the fool, but you made me the fool. Okay, that's good to know. I like learning something. So this is less a date and more of, well, first of all, hey, Mom and Dad, I love you. I need you to stop listening right this second. Because this is less a date and more of a thing that happened recently on a dating app that I won't mention the exact dating app, but I matched with someone and I reached out and the conversation went cold, and we'd only exchanged, like, I say a thing, she says a thing, and then it went cold for days. And I was like, okay, I guess nothing's happening here. And then she got back in touch with me, and she said, I'm so sorry for the radio silence. And I was like, oh, you don't need to apologize. That's totally fine. What's up? What's going on? How's your week going? And she said, my father passed.
Oh.
And that's why I've been away. And I said, oh my God, how is your family? How are you? What's going on? And she was like, it's good. My mom is devastated. My brother is trying to be support. It's all really new. Just, if you could just, you know, any distraction, any jokes or light distractions are great. And I said, oh, do you want me to eat your pussy? And it got her laughing. I mean, like, laughing, like, she, that was a response that she enjoyed. And it was, I think, in the family of light, jokey distraction. We're still talking.
God, that could have got, that was such a limb to go out on.
I know.
I'm really pleased that that didn't break under you. But that's, like, what a risk to take.
I know.
Big swings. I hope that that's the story you have to tell your grandkids. You can follow Daniel on Twitter at @DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow our CFO, Michael, at MakeMeBaconPlease with a PLS for please. Quick question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can email us at QQ with Soren and Daniel@gmail.com. And you can follow, find, hire our producer and sound engineer and editor, Gabe Harder, at GabeHarder.com.